W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH. The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy and welcome in to the Friday episode of the WTH Podcast. It's number 742, I do believe. Let me double check that. Yes, 742.
742, bitch!
We're coming for you, Hank Aaron.
That's right.
755's on the horizon, then we're going to take down Bonds.
And that asterisk, bitch.
There's no asterisks by our show.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. We're going to overtake that too, bitch.
Absolutely no steroids taken in the making of the WTH.
Well, hold on a second. I mean, I do take some steroids.
Except on Jason's face.
Yeah. I do use some. They're prescribed. They're prescribed.
Okay.
Doctor says it's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's why
I'm so swole.
That's what all the Dominican players say.
That's why I'm so swole.
Coming up on the show today, we've got some big, big news from Minnesota in small town news.
Oh, shit. Wow.
A very famous wedding crasher and something I call Trump the Rapper.
Oh, yeah, Trump.
And we're
taking a dump.
We're not talking about Christmas gifts.
With a little lump in his pants. No dick with his hands.
Put a lot of thought into his crotch, haven't you?
I don't know. Just
it's been on your mind. Just been floating around the back of
it. Wonder, because he has the small little hands, like his small dick probably looks bigger because of that. So it's probably like an evolutionary thing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Right?
Mushroom.
But do you think it's more like a shiitake? Or do you think it's more like an oyster? Personally, I think it's more like a puccini. You know what I'm saying?
Stormy said it looked like a mushroom.
Yeah, but what type? There's so many different types of mushrooms.
What's the smallest one that you can see?
Maybe it's
that's a dwarf cap.
Maybe it's like one of those little smokies.
Oh, that's okay. This is a lot more about Trump's dick than I want to talk about tonight, guys.
Little smokies.
That's his name. I think that's his code name. I think that's his code name at the White House.
I can't even imagine what the code names are they have for him there. It's unbelievable. You know what? This is the first president we haven't heard what their code name is. Because the others we all heard. Now, maybe it's because he's still president.
Yeah, I think that's.
But they change him up, I think. So it's very interesting.
This is like one of the first families, too, that doesn't have a pet, right?
There is no pet. Well, Jared Kushner.
Yeah, that's right.
Barron might
Mitch McConnell.
Barron, maybe. Yeah.
The entire Republican Party.
Yeah, the Republican Party, I guess.
The Republicans in Congress.
But think about that. That should go to show you something about like what type of family they are, like they're reflecting of, right?
It's kind of hard to keep a dog in a penthouse with like marble floors and all of that.
But people do it.
Oh, yeah. People in New York have pets all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's walkers. There's people that are dog walkers that make enough money to live
in
Brooklyn.
It's not like he couldn't afford to have someone walk his dog.
Yeah.
If he had a dog.
He could have a whole floor.
Now, I don't know. Maybe he's allergic. I'll go benefit of the doubt. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe he is allergic. Here's the interesting thing. And I don't say this because I want dirt or anything, but have you heard less about a child in the White House than we've heard about Barron Trump?
No.
Because I mean, we've seen him, what, three times?
I almost forget that he's there. And you don't really hear anything about Melania either, except for every blue moon you hear about her, was it Be Good Initiative?
Be Best.
Be Best.
She pops up here and there at like events and stuff like that. But Barron Trump is the first kid in the White House that I can recall in my lifetime that we hear nothing about.
Yeah.
Good. And
that's because of all them libtards that want to talk shit and
No, because I mean, except for the Bush twins, except for the Bush twins, but because they were party girls.
We heard about Sasha and Malia with little stuff here and there.
Yeah.
And we heard about Chelsea Clinton here and there. And we'd see Chelsea Clinton periodically.
Yeah. Oh, no, let's not even talk about Reagan's son.
Well,
he had two daughters too.
Right. But the thing is, when Reagan was in the White House, those kids were all adults.
Yeah.
I'm talking about kids. Yeah. So like Amy Carter, Chelsea Clinton, the Bush girls.
No, yeah, you usually hear about them.
Yeah, at least something.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because of the proliferation of social media and people are dicks on both sides. People are dicks, and there's no reason to be a dick to Barron Trump. He's just a kid. He didn't control where he came from.
Yeah.
Once he's an adult, if he's a dick, then
you can call
whatever.
Him a dick.
But
call a dick a dick.
I just find it interesting. Somebody tweeted, this is about a month ago or so, and I forget who it was, that they wouldn't even be mad if instead of doing all of these golf outings, that we were hearing that Trump was spending quality time with Barron.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we never see that. We never see it, hear it. There's never a photo op, nothing. See, that's the weird thing. There's never even that cool photo op of, oh, hey, Donald Trump took his son Barron out to the driving range or whatever. Nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, you're such like a loser.
Obama did, he was a basketball coach for one of his daughter's basketball team. But like you said, you never know shit about that.
Or you'd see the kids here and there at various things. It's just odd to me.
Yeah.
That
man, fuck having the president as your kid basketball coach. Fuck that shit. You can barely get into a fucking game, man.
Well, barely get into the gym to watch it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why are we getting full body cavity searches to come in to watch the game?
Listen, man, I'm just coming to see my...
It's girls basketball.
Hey, man, it's just a vape pen, all right? Don't worry about it, all right? It's just...
Oh, either one of you guys watched the Seth Rogen, the movie with him and Charlize Theron?
Yes, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, that shit, that was what it reminded me of. Because he went and when he went to go work for her, he went to go into the state house, and that's what he had. He had that and everything else.
Yeah.
But, was it an all right movie, or was it?
It was okay.
Should I watch it? Because it's on HBO, I think, now.
I would watch it on HBO. I wasn't disappointed when we saw it in the theater.
Aquaman was that. That was Aquaman to me was HBO good. Like,
well, I still have it in the DVR off the HBO. So
yeah. Like you watch it on HBO and you're like, oh, all right. That's all right. That was cool. But when I rented it and then like watched it, I was very upset. When I watch it on HBO. So I've determined that's a new status for me of how good a movie is. Like, oh yeah, no, it's HBO good.
There you go. Yeah. Netflix good.
So that was the other thing that me and Barbara did over the weekend. We watched that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's a fun movie. So let's move on to what I call Denver Part 2, Great American Beer Fest. So we had tickets to the Friday session at the Great American Beer Festival, where doors opened at 4:30 and the event started at 5:30.
Okay.
Exactly. We're like, what does this mean? Well, it was airport-style security, so we had to empty the pockets and go through the metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to go and we got our tasting glass. Now, for the first time ever, the tasting glass was actually glass.
Nice.
Which you're thinking to yourself, what a great idea.
Psych.
Nothing but concrete floors and people drinking beer. You know what would be good with that? A glass.
No.
So we got our glasses and we get in line. And it is... a mass of people, and the Denver Convention Center is pretty good size.
Yeah.
And we're lined up on two sides and the line is like 8 or 10 people wide and it's super deep. It goes all the way back. And we got there. We decided to get there a little after 5 because we didn't want to stand around that long. Now, granted, we weren't the first ones to rush through to go to our favorite brewery to get our sample, but big deal. So we're waiting there and waiting there and waiting there, and all of a sudden we hear bagpipers. So bagpipers walk in to schedule the start of the tasting session, which was really kind of cool. The convention center, as I mentioned, concrete floors. The ceilings are very hard. The walls are very hard. And there are literally hundreds of people in this space drinking. There was a karaoke space. But you couldn't hear karaoke unless you were right next to it because the din of people was just oppressive. Ooh. It was loud. And after, so it was 5:30 until 10. I made it to 8:15 before I decided I had had enough.
Ooh.
I had a headache. I had availed myself of the massages that they had there. They had volunteer massage therapists with the chairs, and they were just working for tips. And so I got that. Still the tension from the din of everything. And it was the opposite of a sporting of, it was the opposite of pretty much anywhere you go where women have this huge line for the bathroom and men just walk right in.
Yeah.
Men waiting in line to go to the bathroom. And had a bunch of great beers. There were visited some of our great breweries from around Sacramento that were here. Alero from downtown, Big Stump. Said hi to the guys from Crooked Lane who were there. But the interesting thing is not everybody had somebody from the brewery there pouring. They had a lot of volunteers at each of the booths. They were just wearing these gray staff t-shirts that were there. So you weren't necessarily, it wasn't like you'd think when you go, it's like three people from the brewery pouring for you. No.
Yeah.
Some of them did. Others of them did not. And in fact, one of the ones that I was going to go to from Sacramento, just to say hi, there was no one from the brewery there. It was just those volunteers in those shirts.
Oh, wow.
So that was very interesting. But it's such a crazy event. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beers. And at a certain point, my stomach just went, dude, I don't want any more beer.
Yeah.
And when I talked to my wife, when I got back to the hotel room, she said, how many samples did you have? And I said, I'm not really sure. I said, I think around 30 to 40. And she goes, oh my God. And I said, they're 1 ounce samples. I had between 3 and 4 beers. So it's not like I had a ton of beer. In fact, I didn't even catch a buzz from it. But the idea is just, I just couldn't take anymore. And I didn't just go hardcore IPA, IPA, IPA. I was cycling in some of the lighter stuff. And I really wish I would have known how loud it was because I would have brought earplugs. I think with earplugs, it would have been a much, you know, just the light foam earplugs, it would have been a much better experience for me.
Yeah.
And my buddy made pretzel necklaces for us, which you see all around people. And somebody even came home and said, dude, where'd you get that pretzel necklace? And I'm like, oh, my buddy made it.
Yeah.
He's like, because I'm running out. And I said, oh, it's too bad. And people were dressing up in costumes.
Oh, I believe it.
Oh, my God. Like all sorts of variants of costumes. And the flatulence was impressive. Think about it. Thousands and thousands of people wandering around. There were some food trucks in there. And people just drinking beer and farting in the conventions. I mean, I make it sound great, right? That's the Great American Beer Festival.
Your kind of place
impressive.
Makes you wish you could go back to drinking, right, Jason?
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, they did have a designated driver area where you could hang out. They had, I shit you not, you could learn pottery making.
Nice.
It was right next to the massage tables. So if you were a designated driver there, you could, you know, throw a pot, you could get a massage. But the interesting thing is my buddy that I was there with, we walked in together, we started the first few tables, and all of a sudden I turn around and I don't see him anywhere. And I'm like, oh, he probably went on ahead. I'll catch up. But I don't see him. And I don't see him. And I'm like, huh. So I finally work my way around to a place where there's a space to sit down. And I text him and I go, hey, where you at? And he goes, oh, yeah, I looked around and you were gone.
Looked around, you were gone.
Yeah, that's because you looked in the other direction and walked that way. Because when I asked him where he was on the complete other side of the hall.
Oh, damn.
But we reunited. My wife's like, you weren't mad? And I go, no. No, people were giving me beer. I don't need him for that. She goes, but you went all that way to hang out with him. And I was like, we hung out the rest of the time.
Yeah.
We had quality time on that walk back from the bus to the train.
Yeah, where you hated him. I hated him for at least a third of the trip.
Yeah, a little bit of that. So
you were questioning which boulder you're going to hide his body behind. Yeah,
go back to the last show if you're wondering what I'm talking about. But it was a good time. The nice thing was I didn't have any worries about waking up with a hangover or anything like that. But if you go to Denver and not Boulder, this is why Boulder does it, by the way. This is the explanation of why Boulder is smoke and vape free. If you walk around Denver so many times, it's like something smells skunky.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally everywhere. And I don't really care if people are smoking pot, but I don't really want to walk through a cloud of it every 100 yards. And that's what it is. And my buddy made a comment. He's like, it keeps the homeless people mellow. And I said, not that guy who's throwing his arms wildly in the air, shaking his head and yelling at nobody. It wasn't keeping him mellow.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, he probably wasn't smoking weed.
I don't know what he was doing, but here was my... I said, we're crossing the street because that guy ain't right. He ain't right, and I don't want to be near him.
So the thing So EJ and I did this thing when I was still drinking. It was a San Diego Epic Beer Festival, I think is what it was called. And they had like 100 people. Like, and we volunteered for the first. That's because I was trying to remember like what happened because like they had, it was similar. Because it's like we started describing like, oh yeah, no, there's people that weren't with the breweries that were,
because
that's what we did. We had to go to a training beforehand. But that's why I think we got so hammered, because we did the thing beforehand. And then afterward, like then we did the night. Yeah, so anyhow, we got fucking hammered. Good for you. Good for you for not being an alcoholic.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic to not be dependent on substances. Yay, thumbs up.
Where's my vape pen? Right.
So that was the Great American Beer Festival. So many fantastic beers. I mean, there are not... It was basically just a matter of preference, but...
What was your favorite?
Oh God, there were so many good ones. It's really hard to choose. And at a certain point, once you're doing 40,
there had to have been one that made your dick hard.
No.
There was not one that made you like
there was
really,
one there was the, one that made me go, this is terrible, and I poured it out.
There wasn't one that you're like, man, if I see this in the store, I need to remember to pick this one up. There wasn't one of those.
No, there was not one of those.
All right.
There wasn't.
So I would say that there was not any good beers there then.
Oh, no. But I will tell you this. If you're looking at Oscar Blues, which I normally like Oscar Blues beer, really, it's really good stuff. They had a 100-calorie IPA, and I thought, let me have a sample of that. And I didn't want the full ounce of it.
Ooh.
That is how bad that was. That was the one beer that stood out for me. The Oscar Blues 100-calorie IPA was not... in my estimation, good.
Okay.
At all. All right. So let's get into the bulk of the show. Oh no, it looks like I'm using an ad blocker. Yeah. Yeah, internet, I am. So this is an interesting story. A young man had jury duty, and he showed up one day, and then the next day he overslept and he didn't call. Buffering.
21-year-old DeAndre Somerville learned the hard way why you can't miss jury duty.
After going through that, it's like my life will never be the same again.
In August, he was sworn in as a juror on a civil case. He was to return the next day for trial, but he overslept.
I woke up and I looked at the time, and I was like, oh shoot, it's past the time.
Mistake number two, he didn't call the jury office to let them know what was going on. Days later, he was served with a subpoena to go before the judge.
I talked with my granddad for a while, and he said, the best thing you can always do is honesty. So I went for the hearing.
DeAndre lives with his grandparents and helps look after his grandfather by taking him to therapy.
My grandma was saying, oh, I think you should dress up. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna wear my work clothes, because I feel like at least he can see that I'm doing something. Because a lot of times people get stereotyped, oh, he's just another black boy out here doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
But the 21-year-old didn't see what was coming.
I just said, sir, I honestly overslept and I didn't understand the seriousness of this. He asked me if I had a criminal record. I said, sir, I've never been arrested.
Transcripts show DeAndre apologized, but the judge sentenced him to 10 days in jail. DeAndre said all he could think about was his grandfather.
He depended on me. So it was like, you know, it's hard for him.
Judge John Castronakis' order said DeAndre's failure to appear delayed the trial by 45 minutes, and the court couldn't reach him. WPTV's criminal analyst Michelle Suskauer says these cases are not common.
This is going to show others you have to take this very seriously. But this 21-year-old with no prior record now has a misdemeanor conviction. Could there have been other alternatives to maybe be more instructive and less punitive? It's possible.
It hurts, but it's like it's a lesson learned. It could have been worse.
So the follow-up to that story is he wrote a letter of apology to the judge, and the judge wiped everything out. So he does not have probation. He doesn't have anything on his record now.
That's what usually happens. Like that. So in the case that I was in when I was a juror.
Oh, that's a different thing than I read, because I read that he still had, because they put him on probation for a year.
They did, but they wiped that clean.
And ten
this past weekend.
Oh, so after the story came out, then he did it. Fuck that judge.
when I was the juror for the thing that I was on here, I think he may have even talked about it on the podcast. One of the guys, there was a guy that got that happened to like that. I mean, like he was late and like the judge was like, put out $10,000 bail warrant for his, like said, like all went through all of that. And we didn't see that guy. So, I mean, the judges will do it.
Yeah, I think now go ahead.
It was a white guy too.
No. And I'm one who's a stickler about jury duty. I think that everybody should serve jury duty and take the shit serious. Matter of fact, I got somebody I'm not really talking about something that they said about jury, about having to be on jury duty, because I feel that strongly about it.
Yeah, it's important.
But when you realize that he's a kid that made a mistake,
yeah, yeah,
and you understand the circumstances of him having to take care of his help take care of his grandfather, they actually should have released him so that he didn't even have to serve on jury duty. Because of the fact that he does take care of his grandfather.
He drives him to appointments.
Yeah. So, I mean, but.
So he was sworn in one day, right, and then he overslept and he didn't call.
Right. And there should have been some consequence for that. But to put him in jail for 10 days.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge.
He never went to actual jail though, right? He got wiped before he did.
No, he went to jail.
Yeah, he did end up.
Oh, he did spend the time in jail.
Yeah, this happened back in August. It was just this past Saturday that everything got wiped clean.
No, fuck all them.
Yeah, no, he went.
They should have been vacated before.
They gave him 10 days in jail, and a year of probation, and 250 hours of community service.
Man,
and he had to write
an
apology letter.
Apologies letter, and then before the story came, they dropped it down to 3 days. I think it was 3 months of probation and 50 hours of community service. But
it's nothing now. It's all been dismissed.
It's a nothing burger now.
It's nothing burger. Yeah,
because that expression.
Because they did a fucking story about it.
There was a lot of outrage on social media, and that's where outrage lives. Look, it's a good as much as this may be over the line. It's a really good lesson. A, don't be late. B, if you are late, call somebody and say, "Hey, I'm really sorry. I overslept." If he does that, none of this happens.
Yeah.
He just ignored it.
But I mean, and again, like I said, there should have been a consequence for it.
Yeah.
That was bullshit. He, and we don't teach. This is another thing about not having civics in school anymore, is that we don't teach our, and why we're in the fucking situation we is that we don't teach our citizens, our people, what it means to be a citizen of this country.
Well, there are a lot of people who don't understand how important it is to call if you're going to be, to show up on time, and if you're going to be late, to call.
Yeah.
To let somebody know, hey, I'm running late. I'm really sorry. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Is that one little thing goes a very, very long way. So the good news is the record is clean. This has to be a frat guy, right? Headline: Ohio police hunt for speedo-clad pervert haunting Kent State sorority house. The Ohio police are seeking to identify a man wearing
Rob Gronkowski.
It looks a little like him. He was wearing a Speedo and he prowled around a Kent State University sorority house. The suspect, who was recorded by a doorbell cam, had phrases like "laugh at me" and "shrimp dick" inked on his chest. The word "pervert" was also written on his chest, while arrows pointed to his genitalia, along with the phrases 4 inches and "so tiny." While walking on the porch, the man appeared to be recording with his cell phone. Now, according to cops, the suspect first showed up at the Alpha Phi house in late August. At that time, the trespasser was naked and danced on the sorority's front porch. Investigators believe the man also sent a nude photo and messages via social media to sorority members. If apprehended, the loser could face public indecency charges. That's according to police. That has to be a frat guy, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That picture, that if you look at that one picture, it looks like he's older though.
Nah, he's just got a receding hairline.
Yeah, his that picture above like made him look like he looked.
That's a really low res because they punched in really hard on it to get to be able to get his eyes.
Yeah, that looks like a frat. Right.
Like a pledge.
Pledge, yeah.
Yeah, loser is written on his forehead. Yeah. Laugh at me. Yeah, this all smacks of Greek hijinks to me.
Yeah.
I think it was simply that they would know. I don't know, man. I think mark my words, all right?
Double secret probation is what's happening.
In 2 months when we see the follow up to this story, mm-hmm. all right? And it's like that this guy was like a 39-year-old loser, like some guy, some jerk off, like it's just a weirdo,
mm-hmm.
Or a pervert, like he's telling everybody.
Sure. Other people wrote these things on him.
I don't know. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, man.
This is some frat shit.
I don't know. We'll see. I just will say I will feel vindicated.
Okay.
And he had to take his phone because he had to have something.
So remember, both of you guys doubted me.
He had to have something that proved that he actually did the shit.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking frat guy. Yeah. All right. So last show we had Donald Trump talking about how African Americans are finally getting credit for building this country. At the same event, Candace Owens, which is the Young Black Leadership Summit at the White House, Candace Owens says, "Trump might be my favorite rapper right now." She said, "CNN is a racist network, in my opinion." The guests at the event were Trump, Pence, and Jared Kushner.
Well, all some amazing African-Americans.
"I don't understand how Trump is her favorite rapper."
See,
the oh, shit, because he fucking tells the truth. He spits hot fire.
I don't even know.
I don't.
You know who the five greatest rappers of all time are, Kareem?
Everything's
Trump,
for sale,
Trump,
even
Trump,
so.
Trump.
And Trump.
And Trump.
Oh,
because, you know shit. Why? Because he spits the hot fire.
Oh, my God.
Damn it.
She would suck his dick.
Dirty bitch.
Who says she hasn't?
Oh.
I believe she has.
Oh, boy. This is all she sorts of accusations.
She would toss his salad.
She already did.
Oh, my God!
It was a Caesar.
Dirty bitch.
All right. So we all saw the movie Wedding Crashers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Wedding Crashers can be fun or they can be a giant pain in the ass. Well, a Las Vegas wedding happened over the weekend, and their wedding crasher was Rod Stewart. The British couple got a big surprise when rock legend Rod Stewart turned up unannounced to sing at the ceremony at Caesar's Palace. The appearance of the singer, who's 74 at their wedding, along with a guitarist and violinist, topped off a roller coaster couple of weeks for the pair. Andrew Atchison and Sharon Cook from Liverpool nearly had to cancel their wedding when their travel operator, Thomas Cook, collapsed on September 23rd. However, their wedding venue, Caesar's Palace, heard of the dilemma and the news and offered to help make the wedding happen, with Delta organizing flights for them and their wedding guests, all with 37-minute layovers. Although the happy couple had been warned by Caesar's Palace to expect surprises at the wedding, they were astonished when Stewart appeared at the altar and serenaded them. Atchison posted his thanks the following morning to his Twitter account, describing the day as a dream. He wrote, "We woke up today with quite a hangover, not sure actually happened. It was like a dream. You helped make it the best day of our lives. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are an absolute gent and legend, Sir Rod. My only worry is that Sharon didn't want to let you go." If you're wondering, Rod is currently in Vegas for a set of shows at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. The Newlyweds will be seeing him perform live for the second time in concert there at Caesar's Palace. What a cool thing for
yes. Man, fuck Caesar's Palace. Fuck them.
Hey, you could have went and saved yourself a lot of money.
No, not even that, man. Just fuck the, I mean, come on, man. Those people weren't even fucking Americans.
Neither's Rod.
Yeah, but doesn't I don't give a fuck about who Rod Stewart, what fucking citizenship he has. Like, fucking, why don't you do something nice for some fucking Americans? Fucking Rob, bitches. And fuck Caesar's Palace.
His MAGA side is coming out.
That's not my MAGA side. That's not, I mean, like, if my MAGA side would be like, you know, it's good for the economy. Let's do some more of this. I'm saying, fuck them. Oh,
man. Yeah. So, all right. Well, before we wrap it up, I want to remind everybody to help support the show by telling a friend about the show, sharing it with people on social media. And also, if you're getting Amazon stuff, hitting that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It helps support the show and doesn't cost you anything extra. Now, let's get the hell out of here with some small town news.
Let's do it.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Headline, Governor Walz to open pheasant hunting season in Austin this weekend.
Thank God.
It's the 9th annual celebration that includes much more than hunting, Jason.
Oh, I know.
Dateline Austin, Minnesota. It's going to be the epicenter for upland bird hunting this weekend. That's right, this weekend, when the city hosts the Minnesota Governor's Pheasant Hunting Opener. Governor Tim Walz will lead the opening weekend festivities, which highlight attractions in and around Austin. It's his first pheasant opener as governor, but Walz previously attended the Minnesota governor's pheasant hunting opener while serving as a U.S. congressman. Huh? Walz said, I'm excited to be in Austin for the 9th annual Minnesota governor's pheasant hunting opener. I'm grateful for the generous landowners and countless community members who are going to make this an outstanding opener in Austin this year. The event begins with the land dedication at 4 p.m.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. This Friday. Today.
Today.
The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is working with the Pheasants Forever and the Austin Area Foundation to create a new wildlife management area in Maurer County. Yeah, Friday evening, the public's invited to join Walz and other dignitaries for a community banquet at the Austin Holiday Inn. Ooh, exciting. Get down there. The event will run from 5 to 8:30 with a social hour, dinner, and a program featuring the governor and local community leaders. Mm. Tickets a bargain at $35 and available by calling Discover Austin at 507-437-4563. Now, after the banquet, the voice contestant Chris Croats? Crozy? I don't know.
Croce. Chris Croce.
Whatever. I don't watch The Voice. It will be performing a free concert at Torges Live. It's not really free because you paid $35 for the ticket. Hunters will take to the field Saturday morning for the pheasant hunt. In the afternoon, nice. In the afternoon, the public is invited to enjoy a dog parade and Doc Dogs jumping demonstration in downtown Austin.
Oh, man.
At 3 p.m., nationally renowned recording artist and Austin native Martin Zeller and the Hardaways will perform at the Maurer County Fairgrounds for another Woo-hoo! Free concert.
Damn.
An Oktoberfest celebration will follow at the Austin VFW. With a population of 24,563, Austin is the seat of Maurer County and is located at the junction of I-90 and U.S. Highway 218, approximately 10 miles from the Iowa state line. The city actively promotes hunting, travel opportunities, and outdoor recreation. For more information and updates on the governor's pheasant hunting opener, you can go to exploreminnesota.com/MNGPHO.
Mingfo.
Oh, show. All right, thanks for joining us. You guys getting on a plane right now?
Yeah, I'm on my way out there. I have 1 foot in the airplane.
Ooh, do I...
How far is it from Minneapolis?
I don't know. It's 10 miles from Iowa. That's all they say. I'm guessing like an hour.
Yeah.
In 20 minutes.
Whatever. I mean, I
you know, No. It's an hour and 20 minutes.
Sure. Close enough. That's all you need to know. Hop an Uber.
Exactly.
Good luck with that. That's going to do it for this episode of the WTH podcast. Thank you again for downloading, streaming, watching us live, however you're taking us in, and sharing us with a friend. We do appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Be safe. And if you're hunting pheasant, don't shoot your lawyer in the face.
Don't do that.
Talking to you, Dick Cheney. We'll see you next time on the WTH podcast. Bye-bye.